How can you promise somebody that has everything anything? And that's what the devil is trying to do to the Lord. Tonight I want us to look at something from the Word of God about how the devil tried to get Jesus to bow down and worship him. And it was not the fact that he needed anything. He just wanted Jesus to be the one that would worship him. And the devil desires worship. And not only that, the devil will promise you things that he cannot deliver on, and he will promise things that you do not need. But we find that people have fallen for what the devil has in the for them, and they're messing up their lives big time. I want us to look in the... I've got two verses here I want to let you look at tonight. You can read it. The devil was offering Jesus a gift. He was offering. He said, I'll give you everything. And Jesus didn't need it because Jesus already owned it. But I want you to notice something. In the book of Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8, this will kind of give you one thing about the gifts that the devil tried to offer. And don't forget, he'll try to offer you something. He offers me something. And he will tell the preachers and he'll tell the deacons and all the people of the church what they need to do in order to be successful and be popular with the world. But we're not trying, you should not be trying to be popular. But look at Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8. The Bible says here, "And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And so what God is saying, don't accept a gift. And I'll mention that a little bit. And so think about this. Be careful if people offer you gifts. Now, someone says, what would they do if they offered me this? Well, if somebody comes up to you and offers you something and they don't owe you anything, you get a little suspicious, because how many children have been led astray, been molested by the fact that somebody offered them a gift? How many Christians have lost everything because they believed the lies of Satan when he offered them pleasures and offered them joys and offered them great things in life if they would follow him? How many people are in trouble tonight because they are still listening to what the devil has to tell them and whisper in their ear, "All you have to do is follow me and I'll show you a good time, and I'll tell you no one will ever know." And people seem to think that if we tell the truth and present the gospel that we are their enemy. Well, they can believe what they want to. Well, I find in the Word of God, there's another place in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 19. Look at what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. The Bible says here, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." And you find here, "That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, I'll tell you one reason we have so many corrupt politicians is because of gifts. But the Bible says a gift will blind the mind and it will pervert judgment. And children have been molested and killed because they accepted a gift. And people come along and say, "I'll give you a gift." But a gift will blind. And if anybody offers you a free ride through life, you better be careful. They might have something that is not for your benefit. It's for their good. And so we find that Jesus then, go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. The Bible says when they saw this and Jesus was introduced, and John said that he will do what he came to do. He said, "I'll baptize you with water unto repentance, but he cometh after me is mightier than I." Now, I'm so glad that Jesus came and he gave us everything and didn't demand anything except you. And he had your best interest at heart. He wanted you to have the best. The reason he gave himself on the cross for our sins. And I'm glad that Jesus didn't have anything to hide. He said, "I've come." He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Now that's a good gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad he gave a gift? He gave himself. And he gave it for your good, not for his. He had to suffer in order for you to enjoy what he gave you. He had to die on the cross. Somebody said, well, I don't know why God did it this way. Let me ask you something. How in the world could we have devised a greater plan than what God has given us? We could not improve on what God has done. We could not make the sun rise. We could not make the moon shine. God makes the sun shine, the moon shine, the stars to shine. He makes my head to shine. He makes our light to shine. He makes our steps so wonderful. I'm glad we can walk with Him and fellowship with Him. And I'm glad it's a gift of God. I'm glad it's something He gave us. Hallelujah. He didn't need anything. So we look at this. And the Bible says the devil came. And the Bible says that he came to Jesus. And he said that that Satan came to destroy, but what did Jesus come? He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm glad that God gave Himself. He gave His Son. He gave for us. He gave for our benefit. And we find here that Jesus Christ came and the devil came to Jesus. Now, then was Jesus, after all these things happened. And so, if you'd like to spend the day with Jesus, see what He faced. If you'd like to spend the day with someone, we can go to some persons and say, we want to follow and see what you do for one day. Well, we find that Jesus is baptized and He's going to serve the Father. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness in chapter 4 to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came, now I looked at that hungered, H-U-N-G-R-E-D. I would have said H-U-N-G-E-R-D, hungered, but he said hungered. And so the Bible says here, 40 days and 40 nights he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, I believe he knew he was. He knew who he was. He said, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And you find that people look at the things of the world and say, boy, isn't that wonderful? Look what I have. Look at my house. And a lot of folk were crooks to get what they got. They cheated. They were not honest in their dealings. But we find they look what I am. Look what I got. Look what I have and what I can give you. So the Bible said Jesus was hungry. He was tired, probably 40 days and 40 nights. The reason God is not working in a lot of people's lives, and it's mine included, is because we don't have the burden, and God hasn't worked in our lives many times in order for Him to work in somebody else's life. As a woman said, she wanted to commit suicide because her husband would not get saved. And the preacher said, let me tell you how to do it. Since you want to commit suicide, I want you to fast and pray until you die. Well, she began to pray and fast and said she would not eat and said she fixed the food for her husband. And she would go out and pray. And he finally got suspicious, wondering where she was going. He followed her one day and found out she was pouring out her heart unto God and praying and begging God to save her husband. It wasn't long until he got saved. Why? He said, I couldn't stand that. God got a hold of my heart. And somebody went along and told this man, said, I want to tell you something. Said, you need to get saved. You need to get right with God. He was trying to figure out what it would cost to serve God, what he'd have to give up. And an older preacher came along and said, figure what it would cost you not to serve Him. The price would be greater if you didn't serve God and then if you did serve Him. You're not, let me say this, we will not lose by serving God. The Bible says that if you lose your soul, you profited nothing. If the Bible said if you give everything and you lose your soul, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is no price that we want to pay to lose our soul. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so the man got saved and said, this other fellow, he said, he could not get away from that statement, how much greater it would be to not serve God. What a greater price he would have to pay if he did not get saved. And so he said that God wouldn't let him get away from that. And so we find that people are tested in the Bible, tested throughout the Word of God. But I wanted to look at this. Go back a little bit. When I think about a gift, and I think about what the devil wanting to promise you and promise the young people especially and promise the older folk. And you know, some of the older preachers, somebody said the other day, went to see someone, and they said the man and his wife, they had been married 59 years. And she walked off and said, I'm going to get, she named everything she was going to get. She said, I'm going to get the house, I'm going to do this. And she told all the things she was going to get. And the man went to church, sat on the front row, took a .38 and killed himself. And I was talking to someone in the family, and I said, what in the world would make a person do something like that? And they said, boy, you talk about, it was a tragedy in the church. A man sitting on the front row doing that. And I said, why would he do that? He said, well, he said he couldn't stand the thought of losing everything. But let me tell you something. People seem to think very little of losing their soul. They think that losing their soul is just something, a blip on the radar screen. But all through eternity, a person will be regretting that they did not get saved. And when, praise God, I'm glad that the gift is free. And if anybody can accept a free gift, I don't know. Now, I do know this. I told my wife, I said, when you look on this, what you have here, and whatever you're looking at, and they say, I like the word, absolutely free. I said, always be a little cautious when they say absolutely free. Are you with us? And you say, yes. Okay, send us some money. It's always a catch to it. What's the catch? But we find the devil has hooks in the bait. The devil says, Jesus, I will give you everything if you'll fall down and worship me. Well, praise God. How can you give somebody everything that has everything to start with? How can you give them anything when they already have it? The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Glory to God. God said, I own it all. And one man was in school and he said, they called him in and said, you owe some money. He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, my father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I'm not worried. He owns the potatoes under the hills, the gold in the hills. They said, you better go out and catch a few of those hot cows then, because your rent, your tuition has to be paid. Well, you find people, God owns it all. He gave you life. The Bible said, in Him we live. Praise God. You couldn't live without Him. And the Bible said, in Him we move. You couldn't move without Him. And you could not have your being. The Bible said, in Him we move. We live. We have everything freely given. I'm glad He gives us everything. God gives the important stuff. And we come to, well, I got my money. Got my money. I rode by a place this past week, and I said, that's where I sold my pig one day. I had a pig, and I was planning to get ready to go to New York. Not New York, but to Washington. And I went to school, and I had sold the pig. Somebody gave me a little fella. Got big and butchered it and all this stuff. And so I said, they told me to take about $30 to go to Washington. So I said, I got to get my money. And I got the little fella big and fat. And I had my $30 in my pocket. And I looked at Ms. Hintz and Ms. Dominic. I said, I'm ready to go to Washington whenever. I said, here's my money. They said, your money? What do you do with money? I said, well, it's very unusual. You ain't going to believe where the money came from. But we rode by the place there in Little Mountain where I was sold, and I remember that. And so they said, you don't know. Said, we're going to Washington. I said, aren't we going? I said, didn't y'all say it's $30? And she said, well, my goodness, said, keep your money. It's already paid for. Praise God. Lord, let me tell you now, I can go to church on Sunday if it's not raining. I can read my Bible every day, and I can pray a little bit. God said, what's that for? I'm earning my way to heaven. You'd be surprised. I'm taking communion. I'm eating the bread and drinking the wine and got sprinkled with water. God said, doing what? You didn't read what I said? That's not the requirement. Glory to God. Absolutely free. Glory to God. Absolutely free. I put my $30 back in my pocket. I went home. I was rejoicing, praising God, that God says we have a gift. And then the devil come along and said, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give you this. Give me what? Give me what are you talking about? And someone said yesterday, they said, they were talking to someone, they said, where did that come from? What are you talking about, man? What do you mean by that? You mean to tell me you're that crazy, you think you can give me the world when I already own it? I was there, I made it. It's mine. And it's a wonder you're not in hell right now. Glory to God, I'm dead. We're here tonight. That's a free gift. It's given to us. How many deserved it? Praise God. Mary Lee said today, I was sitting there, and the sun was shining across on the glasses. She said, she got a piece of paper, said a Kleenex or something. You've got a tear in your eye. I said, I don't feel a tear in my eye. I said, I had a few tears this morning when Tommy was talking about what Lewis had done and what Lewis, and I took my glass. I said, oh, that was a reflection. Glory to God, you see anything good in Lewis? It's a reflection of God. Glory to God, it's a reflection of what God has already given. You see anything good in anybody? It's already a reflection of what the sunshine of glory has been in your soul. And I'm glad tonight we can rejoice in the blessing of God. And hallelujah, the best is yet to come. I'm glad it's not over with yet. I'm glad the swan lady hasn't sung. I'm glad that we're still on the journey. I'm glad it's been a long journey, but it's been a glorious journey. And I'm glad tonight it's rejoicing. I'm rejoicing in my soul because what a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came in. And I'm glad we're still on the journey. And I'm glad I'm praising His name daily. Walking in the sunshine of God's eternal love, knowing that the best is yet to come. When we see the storms of life and all the burdens, heartaches, and disappointments that we face in this world. Amen. The Bible says, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know what? People don't know what they're missing by omitting the Word of God. Omitting, leaving it out. Hallelujah. I'm amazed. And I started reading the Bible differently. I read it, reading in four different places. And got my pages turned. And I'm saying, reading every day. And it's revolutionized my thinking. Because now I can think about a lot of things I read. Glory to God. Not trying to read through in 1 month like Tommy did. But I was coming home from a fellowship meeting from down at Lodge, and Tommy called and said, Dad, I made it. I said, made what? He said, I'm read through the Bible. The Word of God will make a difference in your life. And people put it to the side and say, I don't understand it. And I'm so glad when somebody gets the Bible, gets the Word of God, and opens it up and say, this is what God says, and I'm glad, hallelujah, I'm enjoying it, glory to God. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. I'm glad for people. I like when people ask me questions. Ask me hard questions. You will not live spiritually without the Word of God. You're going to be a dead amoeba or something if you don't have God's Word spiritually. And you want to get a blessing. When you have a burden and a heartache and sorrow, you go to the Bible and you begin to open it up. And you begin to see something that blesses you and helps you. And you can go and say, praise God for that. And think that. But he answered that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh up into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now you find here the devil quotes the Bible a little bit, but he doesn't quote it completely. He doesn't tell it like it is. He'll take a few words and he quotes something that's in the book of Psalm 91. The devil uses the word himself, or he tries to. And so when somebody wants to talk to you, you argue with them, and next thing you know, you say, well, I tell you what, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I didn't know that's what God says. Well, it's not what you said, but it's what God, what did God mean? And it's very important that we try to our best ability to find out what God meant when he said something. The Bible says, and the people came, and you can find instances in the Bible where someone says, well, the Bible said this, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That's true. But the Bible said this was speaking, and this is where people apply it. They say, well, go to church, we're going to lift up Jesus. The Bible said this spake he of the crucifixion. And the Bible speaks about the cross. He was talking about the cross. And then you find that Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They said, oh, you're going to build this temple? It took them how many years to build it? And you're going to build it in 3 days? He was speaking about the resurrection of the body. So find out what God says. And sometimes go back a few verses, as Thomas said this morning. Go back a few verses and see what it said right here. And sometimes connect it. And sometimes you can see it. Put it together. Don't try to make it say something it didn't say. And you find people today. It's important that we find out what God has to say. And so we find that the devil came. The Bible says he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh them up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. How did Jesus do? Praise God, he won. What did Jesus say? He said the right thing. What did Jesus accomplish? He accomplished something that we could say, praise God, we are on the winning side. We have a Savior that will stay with us, and he will honor his word. You know, you find people say, I don't believe the Bible, don't believe this. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And we want to get, now someone's asking me about, and I said, I'm not condemning these this thing about the different, some churches want to have drama all the time. And they say, well, we're going to show people this and show people that. But you know what God says? He said, God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the rich man in hell wanted some special miracles, some they could go and talk to his brothers. But you'll find here, just believe what God says. Amen. Trust in him. The triumph. The word of God was used in dealing with the devil. You'll find that the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Think about this. What could the devil give Jesus that he didn't already have? And I want to ask you a question. And myself, what can the devil give me that I need? What does he have that I need? What does the devil offer you? He offers you something to destroy you. But I want you to think about this, and I'll go to this later. There are two words. If the devil's offering Jesus something, I want you to think about two words that jumps out at me. Number one, the word deceitful. The devil is deceitful. When he offers a gift, and when he offers you a gift, he is deceitful in his purpose. He's deceitful in his origination. Where did it come from? It's a deceitful devil. And he offers you anything, you better check it out with the Word of God. If the devil offers you anything good, it's not for your good. It's for your destruction. You know what? People are being destroyed by what they love. They're being destroyed by what they enjoy. They're being destroyed by things that are happening all around them. And there's another word, and I'm not going to go into that tonight, but there's a word, number two, destructive. Everything the devil offers you is deceitful, first of all, and it eventually is destructive. For instance, give you one illustration and I'm finished for tonight. The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's the Word of God. The Bible says lust, the man is drawn away of his own lust. The Bible says that's he's drawn away of his own lust. He's lusting after things that are wrong. The Bible says that about drink, at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. The Bible says that lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So the devil has two things in mind, deceitfulness and destruction. Always keep that in mind. And that's especially true for old folk, young people, middle age, the rich, the poor, the black, the white. It doesn't matter who. Satan has deceitfulness and destruction on his mind when he attacks you. So you follow the crowd. You want to be popular. No, I'm not trying to be popular. People say, well, you ought to do this. I don't want to follow what people want. I want to follow what the Bible says. And I pray that God will help us to know, think about these children that's being deceived, being destroyed. And see, I saw they showing some pictures of the little girl being led astray by candy, piece of candy, and how people use those things. The devil uses that for bait. But he can't give Jesus anything. Jesus already had it. He can't give you anything that's worthwhile, but God gives you everything necessary. Let us pray. Father, I pray that tonight that you'd help me to be a blessing, help the people to be a blessing. And I pray for those that are unable to be here tonight and those that wouldn't come. I pray that you touch them also. And I pray that you'd help me, help the people to pray earnestly that your will may be done in each heart, knowing that you have great things for those that will walk with you. And I'm thankful for the goodness, the mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And thank you for Jesus, in Jesus' name, and for your glory.